Well, this is our third Sunday morning, and Friday marked our third dinner. I like that ratio. That's all right with me. Someone said something about a treadmill. Someone said something, you better get an exercise bike. Somebody said maybe you ought to get a gym membership. I don't know. I like that ratio. I understand we have another dinner next Sunday. So we're going 4 for 4. I could get spoiled with this. It's good to be with you in the house of the Lord. Thank you for being in the house of the Lord this morning. What a beautiful crowd of people today. What a beautiful presence of the Lord this morning. I could close my Bible, I could walk to my car, and I could already say that it has been good to be in the house of the Lord. And didn't that choir sing this morning? Everybody will be happy over there. That's the truth. And I'll just tell you that special just kind of rocked my world. I'm thankful for the mercy of God. And then this praise team that just blessed us and brought us right into the presence of the Lord this morning. I'm glad to be here. How about you? I'm glad to be in the presence of the Lord and feel the love of God and the unity of brothers and sisters as we have come together to worship Him one more time and to get into His Word one more time. I can already say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Would you turn in your Bibles with me to John chapter 4 and verse 23? And 24 for our text this morning. I want to try to preach to you a thought, bold worship. Last week we preached about bold prayers. The week before that we preached about bold together, unity. This week I believe the Lord would have me preach about bold worship. John chapter 4 and verse 23. While you're turning there, let me just say how much I enjoyed being with the senior adults and their ministry on Friday and that dinner. What a meal that was. I commend Jim and Darlene and each one that puts that together. Mike, who drives the bus, and what a great time that was. I'm going to go ahead and nominate myself as an honorary member so I can be part of those meals too. But what a beautiful ministry that is, and I enjoyed being there so much. John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. Jesus says this, "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him." Then he goes on to say, "God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." Would you help me pray one more time? Lord, we thank you for your word. Would you add your blessing to your word this morning? Lord, would you anoint our hearts and our ears to hear and receive from your word, knowing that your word is for us, not against us. Knowing that your word will change us, your word will empower us. And what a privilege it is to stand this morning and preach your word. What a privilege it is, God, for us to stand here and hear your word and receive your word. We pray, God, for your anointing that goes above and beyond anything that we could ever do, anything that ever could be accomplished. We pray for that anointing that goes beyond. Be with us this morning, and God, let us become bold worshipers in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen and amen. Why don't we just give the Lord a good hand clap of praise right here this morning? He is worthy of our praises this morning. Jesus needed to go through Samaria. It's already been pointed out this morning that he didn't really have to go through Samaria, but he said, "I must need go through Samaria," because he knew that there was a woman at a well that he needed to see. In fact, he wanted to have a discussion with her, and here by a well at an unlikely location and an unlikely woman, there is an unlikely conversation. Last week, we correlated that with prayer. Prayer really is just a conversation with Jesus. Prayer should be a two-way street. We should talk to God, but we should also listen to God. And we found four principles of bold praying last week. One of those principles was our prayer should be God-centered prayers. They should be scripture-driven prayers, faith-filled prayers, and grace-full prayers. Today we continue on with that account as the woman at a well talks with Jesus. We ended last week with Jesus telling her in verse 14 about those fountains of living water that were going to spring up into everlasting life. And I'm glad that I have those fountains of living water inside of me. How about you this morning? Now here's her response in verse 15. She said, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw." And Jesus, in response to this, leads her into a conversation of some things that maybe, just maybe, she didn't really want to talk about. How many knows that sometimes God will deal with us and begin to talk to us and speak to us, and sometimes we want to avoid that conversation? He brought her into a conversation of clarification of where she was in life, conviction, consecration. Ultimately, he wanted her to be consecrated to him. A conversation about living water and what that living water would produce are the results or the changes that would come in her life. Now, once we drink of this living water, you see our lifestyle begins to change. How many knows that we don't come to Christ and just drink of this living water and then go about our own business? If we have truly had an encounter with Christ, we will have a change down on the inside that will change the way that we live on the outside. I cannot say I came to Christ and I came to know Christ and then turn and just live any old way. It doesn't work that way. But there will be a change that will come. Now, if I desire my life to reflect a bold worship, and that's what I want to preach about this morning, then there are some items, there are some things that I must deal with. I would tell you to look at your neighbor and say, "Deal with it." The first thing that I need to deal with is defects. You say, "Well, I'm not defective." Defects. Have you ever bought something, only discovered that it had a defect? Maybe it was a broken toy. Maybe it was a technological glitch. Maybe it was a recall on a car part, but it was some type of a defect, a shortcoming, an imperfection, a lacking. When I looked up some synonyms for a defect, I found the words recall and I found the word blemish. And in a sense, Jesus was going to recall her to himself. I am glad that one day he recalled me to himself. Here's what Jesus said in verse 16. He said to her, "Go call your husband and tell him to come here." Jesus was going somewhere with that statement. The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have said well that you have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the man you're with right now is not your husband." Conviction. In love, but he was speaking the truth. In love, but he was speaking clearly. And I believe when we come to the house of God that sometimes we feel good and we should be made to feel good, but there are times when we must speak the truth in love. But may we make sure it's motivated by love. May we make sure we're not just speaking the truth and saying we're speaking it in love, but coming from a heart of love and speaking the truth. Why would Jesus do that? Because he wanted to recall her to himself. And this is the same with us. He wants to show us areas of sin, areas that need improvement in our lives. He wants to recall us to himself and then bring us to a place where we can have bold worship. We must deal with our lifestyle issues. We must deal with the patterns of our behaviors. We must deal with heart issues. And just to be very blunt, we must deal with sin. If we're going to worship him with a bold worship, we must deal with sin. 2 Corinthians, starting in verse 16, let me read you some passage. "And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God." Boy, we would think about things differently if we would think that we are the temple of the living God. We would live differently. As God said, "I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. I feel like we have run into a peril within the modern day church that we want to live as close to the world as we can and still say that we are the church of the living God. But he says here to come out and be separate. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. If you want him to receive our bold worship this morning, we need to abstain from some things. Verse 18, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. The word holiness is not a dirty word. The word holiness is a good word. It's in our teachings as a church. We need to be a holy people. We have been recalled to God by our Creator. He wants to cover those blemishes. Now, I have some bad news for you ladies who may be covering your blemishes with makeup. What is it? Clairol? I almost said Claritin, but that's for allergies. But the outside, whatever it is that my wife gets out in that powder and they powder it up, that might cover our blemishes on the outside. But how many knows that Jesus wants to cover our blemishes on the inside through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? See, we must deal with our defects. And then we can be, as he says in Psalm 96 and 9, oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Bold worship. Not only should I deal with my defects, but I must deal with my distractions. Now watch what happens in this conversation. In verse 19, the woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshiped on this mountain, and you Jews say that Jerusalem is the place where we ought to worship. Now this has happened to me many, many times, and perhaps it has happened to you as well. We start down a pattern of conversation with someone who needs to know Christ as their Savior, and the next thing you know, they're asking questions, but they seem to be out in left field somewhere. And I have read this passage many times, and I'll be honest with you, for several years, I didn't understand, why did she start bringing up the question about where we should worship? It seemed out of context. And it finally hit me one day. It was out of context. It was her attempt to change the subject. And many times when we start talking to people about Christ, they will try to change the subject. Well, I've heard this or I've heard that. And what we must do is bring them back to that conversation. What about ourselves? What about me? How are we with God? And here she was basically trying to bring about a distraction. We live in a world that is full of distractions. We live in a world where things will distract us if we aren't careful from worshiping God in a bold way. You know what could distract us is our attitude. Our attitudes can distract us from true worship. They can hinder us. Let me ask you a question this morning. Is it possible for us to get caught up in what's called worship wars or style preferences or song selection or on this end traditions and on this end the new and on this end fads and trends and hype? Is it possible within the church that our attitude will become, well, I am fixated on this style or on this song or on this and I'm not going to worship if they don't do it my way? But I want you to know this morning that I did not come to this house to worship a style. I came to worship a Savior. I didn't come to this house to get focused on things that don't matter. I want to worship him in spirit and in truth because that is who God desires us to be and how he desires us to worship. I love it when we sing, everybody will be happy over there. And I can worship with that. And I love it when we sing, oh, what a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. I can worship with that. I came to worship him. How about you this morning? May we not be distracted by the things or the people or the preferences that would prevent us from placing our full attention on him. You see, there's distracted driving. but there can also be distracted worship. There are times that we can stand in the house of the Lord and maybe we're going through the motions, maybe we're even lifting our hands, but our minds can be somewhere else, distracted worship, but may we place our focus on Him. There's even texting while driving, and sometimes there's texting while worshiping. May our minds be upon Him. There are 1,000 different things that vie for our attention, but we must focus ourselves on Jesus Christ and make Him the center of our lives and the center of our bold worship. He is the object of our affection. You see, bold worship, first, we need to deal with the defects, the shortcomings, the sins. We need to then deal with the distractions and don't get caught up and major on the minors, but may we worship Him, deal with the distractions, focus our mind on Him. Yes. And then we must deal with the detours. Follow with me as we continue through this story with the woman at the well. Look at verse 21. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You know what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." He's saying that I'm coming, and I'm coming from the Jewish people, and I'm going to show you how to worship. I'm going to bring everyone back into a relationship with me. "But the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And for the Father is seeking such to worship Him." Can I stop right here this morning? And I believe that He was looking down and smiling upon us this morning as He was searching for people who would worship Him in spirit and in truth. And I'm glad that we came into a place this morning, not in a sterile, cold environment, but we came in with a worship and a praise on our lips and in our heart. For God, look at verse 24, is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. Jesus has given an overview here of true worship, a formula for worship. A bold worship is a worship that will not be detoured away from true biblical worship. I am notorious for taking detours. If my wife and I are traveling, she says that we have spent more time turning around in parking lots than we have actually driving. Recalculating. But sometimes, that's because I have gotten lost, but sometimes I like to take, she would rather take point A to point B, boom, boom, get there. Now, sometimes I like to take a detour. I like to take a roundabout approach. I like the scenic route. A detour is taking a different route and going off of the proven path. But I want to tell you, when it comes to our worship, may we never leave the proven path of this bold worship that the Scripture outlines for us. Colossians 3, 16 and 17. He said, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another." Watch this. "In psalms and in hymns and in spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." How many like singing? I believe God created us to be able to sing so we could worship Him. "And whatever we do, do in word or deed, do it all in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." What do I see here about bold worship? Let me just tell you what I see. First, I see in this bold worship the word of Christ dwelling in me richly. I need to know who I am worshiping and why I am worshiping Him. And that's why I need to have that word of Christ dwelling in me richly. And if I have that, I will understand more why I am worshiping and who I am worshiping. But then he said a psalm. I love the beautiful psalms that are in the Old Testament, but I believe today that many of the praise and worship songs that we sing today is a form of psalm, of worshiping and adoring Him. Then he said hymns. I love the great hymns because they say something. There's theology there. There's an understanding there. There's a depth there. He said, praise Him in the psalm, but praise Him with the hymns. Then he said, with spiritual songs. A spiritual song is a testimony song. It speaks of an experience. It speaks of somebody who has seen God do something for them, and then they put it to music and rejoice thereby. I believe we ought to praise him in the psalm. I believe we ought to praise him with the hymns. And I believe we ought to praise him with the spiritual songs. You see, a bold worship then goes on in verse 17. Whatever I do, whatever I say, all in the name of Jesus. The first part of that, verse 16, was our expressions of worship. But verse 17 is really saying, I can express my worship, but I better be living it out. And I believe that I would live differently, you would live differently, if everything we did it in the name of Jesus. If everything we said, we did it in the name of Jesus, it would make us think twice, wouldn't it? Maybe make us think three times. Bold worship is not being detoured from that proven path that I'm preaching right there. Bold worship is knowing that God is a spirit. He is not limited to a physical place. He is everywhere. He can be worshiped anywhere and at any place. But it's not so much the where, but it's the how. Is my worship genuine and true? Is my lifestyle, more importantly, a lifestyle of worship that pleases God, that then translates to that worship? To truly worship God, we must let go of our self-worship. We must be willing to humble ourselves before God, surrender every part of our lives to his control, and adore him for who he is and not just what he does. Sometimes he has blessed me and it has precipitated a great praise that has come out of me, a great thanksgiving. And I think that's good. When God blesses us, we should praise him. We should bless him back and thank him for that. But there are times when we just need to worship God for who he is. And he is worthy of our praise. You see, I don't want detours to hinder my bold worship. I don't want distractions to hinder my bold worship, and I want to deal with the defects in my life. Why? Because I have a destiny that is filled with worship. God has called us to a worship-filled life. In all we do, in all we say, wherever we go, and in all of our expressions and feelings, may they manifest bold worship to God. I want the musicians to come, and they're gonna sing something I've asked them to sing for us this morning, if they could get in place. You see, I have to deal with the detours. I have to deal with the distractions. I have to deal with the defects. But finally, I have to deal with hope. What do you mean I have to deal with hope? This is the culmination of the story here with the woman at the well. Look at verse 25. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. And when he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. You see, here we have a situation where Jesus says, I've got to go through Samaria. Why did he go? Because there was this woman who was going to be waiting by a well. A woman who had lived a life of sin and shame. Really a despicable life in a lot of ways. But Jesus said, I know she's going to be coming by. And I'm going to wait here until she does. And then he engages her in a conversation. He engages her in a conversation and he points out with love her life. He points out in love where she is in life. But then he doesn't offer her condemnation. He offers her fountains of living water. He doesn't say, get away from me. I came here because I wanted to judge you. No, he did not go there because he wanted to judge her. He went because he wanted to love her. I have found that to be true in my life as well. I have found that this Savior has given me living water. He helped her deal with the defects, so that she could have a bold worship. She he helped her deal with the distractions so she could have a bold worship. He put her back on a proven path away from the detours so she could have a bold worship. And I have good news for every one of us this morning. He is still standing by that wellside, if I can say it symbolically, for you and for me. And he wants to put us on that proven path and produce a bold worship in our lifestyle and in our expressions. And I say, Lord, let us live lives that please you, that worship you, that honor you. Shining light, shining examples, like we preached about a few weeks ago. But not only examples to this world around us, but as we're living that way, that it brings glory and honor to our God. What does he see when he looks down and he watches us on Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? What is it that he's seeing? May it be acceptable in his sight. May it be a lifestyle that is pleasing to him. A lifestyle filled of bold worship. In all that we do, in all that we say, in how we act, how we react, let it reflect Christ. And then when we have times where we just walk into our expressions of praise. You see, he said that if men do not praise me, that even the rocks would cry out in our place. I look at that beautiful old building over there and the stone, the rock. I would hate to think that God would need those rocks to cry out in my place. I don't believe he needs that this morning because we came in as worshipers today. And I encourage us next week when we come in, let us enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. When we assemble ourselves together, let's remember the mercies of God and the greatness of God and the blessings of God and how we're able to come into this room and worship him together in spirit and in truth. You don't have to worship him. Express your worship the way I do. Just worship him in spirit and in truth. Sometimes I might get a little loud. I might get a little boisterous. You don't have to get loud and boisterous. Just worship him in spirit and in truth. Sometimes I'm reserved and quiet and just kind of bow my head and soak it all in and kind of the be still and know that he is God. But may we worship him. May we honor him. May we praise him. You see, here's what happened. She had to deal with her defects. She had to deal with her distractions. She had to deal with her detours. But after she found Christ, she had to deal with the hope that she found. You see, after I found Christ, I have to now deal with that hope that I have found. How am I going to deal with that hope that I have found? I'm going to deal with it by praising him. I'm going to deal with it by a deep, heartfelt, down on the inside worship to him. I want to have a bold prayer. I want to have a bold walk. And I want to have a bold worship. Would you stand with me all over the house this morning? You see, praise is intertwined with thanksgiving. And many times we have a lot to thank the Lord for. And that comes out in our praise. But then worship kind of goes deeper and it's intertwined with our surrender. I want to worship him. I want to praise him. I want to express my praise, but I want to live out my worship. And this morning I asked them to sing a song. And our altar response is going to be this. First, let me say, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you're like that woman who came to the well, this altar is open and you can come and we'll pray with you and pray for you and God will save your soul. This altar is open for you. For those of us who know him, our altar response this morning, I just want us to take some time before we leave this building and praise him. Take some time and worship him. Take some time and honor him and adore him. Can we just do that this morning? Go ahead and sing that song for us this morning. Let's Let's just worship him today. May we have a bold praise. May we have a bold worship. And then tomorrow, let us live it out. This week, let us live it out. Next Sunday, let us come back in with praise on our lips and worship in our hearts and in our lives.